Artlist.io.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yeah. Working like I never know I'm blessed, yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome back. Welcome back to the What Are You Made Of show here from That One Studio. It's your boy C-Rock in the building with another That One show, man. We're putting them together, guys. We're doing a really great job. My team, I'll give my team all the credit. We're doing a great job of getting great guests that have great stories and are doing amazing things. And we're really diving into what they're made of, the ingredients that have gone into making them. And I just want to thank all of you for listening. We're watching however you're consuming this content. I really appreciate you. And we're going to continue to rock and roll. But before we get started, also, That One merch is out. ThatOneMerch.com. Go check it out. Hats, t-shirts, sweatshirts. If you're wanting to stand out and not fit in, you think cool is fitting in. It's not. Cool, people that are successful with their brands and their businesses are the ones that stand out. They're That One. And so go get your That One merch, ThatOneMerch.com. It's your boy C-Rock here with Tiffany Sauter in the building. She's a wife, mom, CEO of Element 3, investor, podcaster, and board member. Her journey through learning to balance a two-career household and successful business has not come without its challenges. Her four daughters have inspired her to speak confidently and vulnerably about the many roles she plays. This show is not perfect, by the way, Tiffany. We just rolled through it. She now shares her stories, insights, and passions about how fear can play a positive role in life on her podcast, Scared Confident. By the way, I laugh when about the four daughters because I have one daughter. She's 11 and she's a handful. So I don't know if I could. I don't know. I probably could, but how is it with four daughters?
It's great. It's awesome. They're in high school, middle school, elementary, and preschool. So they're very spread out. Same husband, same all of it, just very spread out. And it's great. You know, it's a trip having, I think whenever you have a family that has just one gender of kids, your house just swings so hard towards that. It's like what we do, it's what we know, it's what we talk about, it's how we vacation, it's all the stuff. And they're great.
Can I ask you, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was excited.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, I got a buddy that's got three daughters, no sons. And I have one, right? But do you think that it affects the husband, the father, having so many women in the house and all the estrogen? And do you think it affects them at all? Like you said, everything's swinging to that one way. I always wondered that.
I think my observation is that I think my husband needs time with his friends sometimes because he just needs to do boy things. Like, they don't want to watch football. They don't want to go shoot baskets. Like, they don't want it. They want to do girl stuff. And so I think it's made him softer. I think he, I think that.
In a good way, right?
In a good way. Yeah, in a good way.
I just want to clarify.
Yeah, I mean that in a good way. I think there's ways it's developed him as a person where you just have to listen more to girls. They have a lot of words they need to say. There's a patience that comes, I think, with having kids in particular, but girls. But I think there's times where he just needs to go do boy stuff. And I have had to learn to create the space for that in a way. He's not wanting to be with us. He doesn't not want to like honor his family. He just needs to go do stuff. And as my older girls are starting to get into sports, my husband was a college athlete. I joke, he's kind of having his day because they're really interested in the work it took and how hard it was and the practice and the recruiting and all these really cool things he did just don't ring a bell for an 8-year-old girl. But now that they're getting older and they're starting to like figure out the sports thing a little bit too, his like gifts and accomplishments, I think, are just having kind of their day in our house, which is special.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. All right, Tiffany, I went down a rabbit hole with that one because cool. I usually start the show with my question that's on the wall behind me. So let's get there. What are you made of?
Yes, I'm made of two things. I'm made of ideas and a love for people. And I think that as the more I understand this like journey of business that I've been pulled towards, it's like business is an amazing environment to figure out, are your ideas good or are they bad? And I love the feedback loop of that. You know, I think the fact if a business is successful, you get to bring more of the people you love along with you in the journey. And I love the complexity of people. I love being with people. I love having people over to our house. I love I love the adventure of new people. I just like, I love the intimacy of familiar people. I just like love people. But not for the purposes of just being social. I'm not a coffee person. I don't like sit and sip, you know?
Right.
I like
right.
to make with people. I like to do with people. I like to like adventure with people. So that is, I mean, I'm always gathering people. I'm like finding somebody. I'm like, oh my word, your brain is so smart. You just haven't found the thing that you love. Let me put you in pressure over here and see what happens. And I just love that. So
yeah, causing and creating, I call that, right?
Yeah.
A mentor of mine taught me like causing and creating futures with people is one of the most attractive things you can do. You know, like people are attracted to that when you can cause mm-hmm. and create. Like I'm not a person that likes to sit around and just talk either. Like, and I feel like there's always got to be some kind of creating going on. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just I'm the same way. I can relate to that so much.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think it's where we most experience ourselves. I experience myself most acutely when I'm creating an idea and like moving into the future. And so I think I want to share that with people and like give them the thing that I most love versus just like, you know, I can't even talk about sitting down for coffee in a way that sounds fun because I just don't like it.
Yeah, you don't like coffee or you don't like sitting down talking?
I just don't like coffee. Sitting and like,
yeah,
just chatting. Like, it's just not like it's not a thing I'll naturally put my time towards.
Well, you know what happens? You're either small talking or if you're not like intentional about a conversation or something with someone, you end up down a road of I call destruction, which is more gossip, mm-hmm. Complaining. Venting, and sometimes you need to vent, but like that's what happens a lot of times, you know, and especially in communities and things. So no, I'm with you. Most people don't even catch on to that. So mm-hmm.
that's a really good observation. I had not thought of that. It's true.
Yeah. Well, this happens in life too. Like if my calendar's empty, if I don't have something going on, I'm tending to go, maybe is there a casino I can go play some games on, or is there a game on I can maybe, you know, it's just, or go hang out and have a drink somewhere. It's just like, it's dangerous, you know? Mm-hmm. I've always have to have that for me intention. So it's the same thing with conversations. So now when you talk about creating with people and ideas, are you talking about business ideas or what kind of thing are you talking about?
A lot of times it's business ideas. It's also just like hard things to go do together. Like reasons to celebrate and like parties to plan. This is like a random example, but one of our friends worked on this huge bid for the state of Indiana, this big federal grant. They won like over $1 billion for the state, a really, really big deal. And so we like planned this like party to celebrate this like cool thing that happened in his life. So that would be an example of like, you know, we just all sent texts like congratulations, but I'm like, let's like put together a themed party and like be silly about it and just like celebrate each other. I think that as you get older, we're in our 40s, it can like kind of devolve to a high five and like a congratulations emoji instead of like putting energy into celebrating something and celebrate. Wow, and I made a cheesy cake. Like it was all very, it was not like an Instagram party with backdrops and balloon arches. It was like very silly and on purpose. But I think things like that, like ideas and just doing it. I don't know. My kids love to have their friends over. And so we did this big fall party in our backyard where we had lots of games and stuff delivered. And my lawn guy asked me, he's like, do you run a daycare? And I was like, no. He's like, what is all this stuff? I was like, we're just going to have 3 weekends of fall holiday, like fall parties. And so we just did the thing, got the stuff. I got Frisbee golf and we live on a couple acres. And we just had a bonanza of a fun time. So like, it doesn't have to just be my business. It's just like, I love ideas and bringing people together. And
yeah,
I execute on them. I think a lot of people, I don't know, say stuff and then they just sit and I just do it. And yeah. I have, you know, I just like it. I get energy out of it.
Well, you know, somebody said to me the other day, I was talking about planning an event in April and they're like, you don't let any moss stand under you or something like that. I don't know. There's a term, something like
I can't help you because, but I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, really? I just feel like I don't even feel like I'm doing enough. Like, you know, so it's a perspective thing, but you would fit into that category too. You like, you know, you have an idea, like, let's go do it. Let's find out if it works or not. Let's find out if it's going to be good or not. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Let's go. And yeah. By the way, isn't it funny sometimes where we have a good idea, what we think it is, and then it doesn't, it doesn't work because just because we think it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. But that's okay. That's part of the experimentation. I'm married to a very discerning human being, and I used to hate that. But I have learned to use it as a very like productive governor, because I just fall, like my brain has gone so far and I'm so excited about it that I can't see that this is not a good idea. This doesn't end in something I actually want. Like I have this idea for, you have a brand, a clothing company. It's like, I don't want to get into the inventory business. Mm-hmm. And there's a requirement at some level if you're going to get into it. So I have some ideas like that where he's like, do you really want to get into the inventory? Like reminding me of my own boundaries. I'm like, no, I don't want to get into the inventory business. So I've learned to use very discerning people around me, because I cannot be. That can be dangerous, because I just think it's all good and fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't have inventory. Like we don't do that. So I have a solution for that. So we can talk offline.
I'd love to hear about that.
There's ways around it nowadays, you know. But anyway, if it gets to a certain degree of popularity, I'm sure you probably have to store inventory somewhere, but you get somebody else to handle that for you. So one thing in business, and I want to learn your story, but one thing in business I learned is I always was kept from doing things sometimes. And it's because I felt like I had to do everything. But when I started realizing that people have everything we need, and it's not about doing everything yourself or knowing how to do everything. It's now it's like, okay, if people have everything we need, I just got to go find the people, the right people. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how that just that one little thing can blow things up in a good way. So,
yeah, but there's something that you said that I think is a step actually people don't know. And that is knowing what you need.
Yeah.
People aren't able to articulate it in a way or say, I want to start a clothing company where I don't have to have inventory, and this is the demand, and I need on-demand printing and just in time, blah, blah, blah. I think that that is actually a gift and a skill that as I've gotten older, I realize some people don't even know how to articulate what they need. They don't know how to see it. They don't know how to claim it. They don't know how to even know what they want to know what they need.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's a good point. That goes with life in general. If somebody's trying to have a good life or business or relationship, the first thing I always talk about with people is vision and clarity. What do you mm-hmm. want? Right. And most people that you ask, they don't even know what they want. It's wild. So let's talk about
why do you think that is? Sorry. Can we pull that thread for a second? Cause I have my own opinion, but I'd love to know if you work with people and you ask them that question, why do you think it is that they don't know?
Yeah. Because our imaginations have been inhibited so much by our parents when we were kids. And then from there, our teachers and then the kids around us. And then so all this time from when we've been little kids, we've been just pounded, inhibited, right? And discouraged, before you know it, we're not even using our imaginations anymore. And it's a sad thing, because imagination is actually a good thing. It's what causes and creates everything we see in the world. If you drive down a street and see buildings and architecture, you're like, man, that was in somebody's mind before. Hmm. And so that's what I believe it is. It's not, and we're programmed. I believe that there's also a cause out there that's trying to keep people just in place, doing a routine and not being a problem. Hmm. And so those are my thoughts on it.
Interesting. Yeah. My opinion on it is that maybe this is just germane to my own story, is that it started to feel very dangerous to dream and to ask for what I wanted, because I was so consumed by what I had to do. And if I began to dream and began to want and began to like claim there was something different that I wanted, then I opened myself up to the possibility of not getting it, and like the disappointment, letting myself down, having tried to verbally claim it and not actually be able to do it. And that felt very risky. And
wow,
so
you just spurred something up in me. All right. So let's think about this for a second. So everybody that's successful on this planet, what's the reward for it most of the time?
Well, I mean, that's very loaded. People have lots. You're saying like financially successful?
Well, I look at it. Yeah, it could be success. Well, that's the point. So successful could be numerous things. It could be financially.
Like a lot of things. Yeah.
Materials. Right. But also the feeling and fulfillment.
Yeah.
Right. So I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm like, well, I can just experience the fulfillment of something if I just close my eyes and imagine and like meditate and pray and all that. But I can start feeling the feeling. You can decide to have a feeling. Mm-hmm. You really mm-hmm. can. You can decide That's to be true. Happy, actually.
Yep.
People mm-hmm. don't realize that. So, but the other thing that comes along with it is more stuff. And so I'd love to get your thoughts on this. So like, I have books piled up over here. I don't even read all of them. I have toys. My family has to, we have stuff and I hate stuff. I don't want stuff. I want to be free. Cause what I looked at and started to realize is the more stuff we have, the less free we are. Mm-hmm. And so we really don't need to have things, but the reward for a lot of success is stuff. So if I started thinking for myself, focus on the feeling, the emotion mm-hmm. that I really am searching for, the fulfillment that I'm searching for, and put the stuff to the side. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, maybe I'll answer it by sharing how I have framed and defined success for myself. And this has been fairly recent because I got asked this question on a podcast and I was kind of annoyed that I didn't have an answer that felt as true to me as I wanted it to. So I've just spent a lot of time thinking about it. And I came to the answer of success for me is the ability to say yes. And what that means is that if my sister calls me who lives in Arizona and says, can you come see me? That I say yes. That if somebody in my network needs a place to live, I can say yes. If there's somebody in my family that has cancer and needs financial support, that I can say yes. If there's somebody in my church that and we want to build a new building and they need funding, that I can say like I can say yes. And so then I started to look at all the things that I own about whether or not it's a catalyst for me to be able to say yes to the people and the things and the causes that I care about. Because having a place where people can come and comfortably experience community takes energy to maintain the mm-hmm. big damn thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. you have to fix it and you have to make sure it's comfortable and fluff the pillows and dust it. And like I have a million wine glasses and dishes and like there's a lot of stuff that comes with wanting to create community.
Yep.
And so I began to look at the stuff we own to say, does this allow us to say yes? Like we don't have this right now, but I have a vision of this big pool house that also has the ability for somebody to live there if they needed to. That would allow me to say yes easier to somebody versus just this big dumb thing I have to maintain. So I think as you look at your stuff and you think about the definition of success, sometimes it becomes, I want to prove to myself I can buy the thing I never thought I could, which is scratching an itch. But maybe the definition of success is being able to have adventures with your family, being able to be the place where their friends come over, where this stuff enables things that make you experience a version of success. Like for me, it is the ability to say yes, that it doesn't matter how much it costs me to get on a plane to Arizona, I can just say yes and all six of us can go and it's no big deal. And like that for that to just be an easy yes, that is what success feels like to me. So yes, that means I have to make more money, but it's not because I need to see some big fat number in my bank account. It's that it allows me to be able to be there, to be present, to create community, to bring people together, to make good on some of my ideas and see if they're good or they're bad. Like it just allows me to say yes. So
yeah,
well, I don't know if that framing is helpful.
Yeah, it sounds synonymous to freedom.
Yeah, I think
the freedom to say yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. No, I like that. And you know,
some people want freedom though. Where like, I don't want anybody to tell me what I do with my time. I want to be able to like, you know, go hiking if I want to. Like that is not motivating to me. I don't. I want control of my time, but that in and of itself is not that motivating to me. Like freedom to do what I want. Like, I mean, you're a grown up. Most of us can do what we want anyway. It's just the consequence to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the consequences. That's the problem. Yeah. Because like, you know, you may not get paid or you may not be able to whatever, but no, I'm down with it. So definitely in alignment there. So tell me how you got started in doing the thing with the, you know, really focusing on like people that have two career households and like helping them. Like what were you going through some struggles and challenges that caused you, like you overcame them and you're like, I got to share what I figured out here. Is that how it happened?
That's exactly right. I mean, I was 25 when I started at the agency that I own. My husband is an Ivy League athlete. He's super smart. He's super athletic. He's super impressive. And I had all these big dreams and things that I wanted to do too. And I grew up with a stay-at-home mom. My grandmas were stay-at-home. My aunts, for the most part, were. I grew up in a really small town where every woman who worked had to. She had a job. She did not have a career. She was working because she had to pay rent on something. And so this whole world that I found myself exploring when I was 25, I had this small agency that was worth nothing at the time. My husband had big ambitions and big dreams and big expectations on him. And I wanted a big family. And so we spent the last 18 years building our families and our careers at the exact same time. And that is very hard. And we're living in this moment where there is so much opportunity. There's so many things that we can say yes to. You know, as a woman, doors are flying open. You can make money on the internet. You can podcast. You can share your voice. There's no intermediaries anymore. Like, we can literally do whatever we want.
Yeah.
But there's a secret Rubik's Cube that's behind all of us, which is like, how do we get it all done? Like laundry and making sure our kids are eating and they're where they need to be. And we're not just administering our lives, but we're living it. Like, you're existing in it. You're like loving it. You have close, intimate relationships with your family. You're available for their friends in the way that you want to. You feel like you can still say yes to new professional pursuits. And you didn't just create this accidental prison for yourself. That is just all of this responsibility. And that is a really crappy way to live. I remember laying in bed and being like, I am dying under the weight of my choices. Like, this sucks. I chose to get married. I chose to have kids. I chose to start this. Like, they were all things I had done to myself. It's like, I am not joyful. I don't have creative energy for my spouse. I am not creating a home in the way that I want it to look like for my kids. Like, I'm not doing any of that. I'm working myself into like a zombie. This cannot be what it's all about. It can't be. And so, you know, predictably, everything was on the edge of breaking. My business was really struggling. My marriage was going through some really hard times. I had a very disconnected relationship with myself. I was just performing. I had to act like everything was fine. But I had worked for myself since I was 25 years old. I didn't have this like trove of mentors around me. Like, it was just like, I was dying. And I run a marketing agency. And so I felt like I had this very public persona I needed to manage because everybody in my proximity can be a client for me and I need to have my crap together all the time. And it was just too much. It was just too much. And I started to say, like, I have to give back something. And I guess it has to be my career because I don't want it to be my marriage and I can't be my kids. And I have to live with myself. I guess it has to be my business. And I started asking myself different questions and said, if I said I had to have both of them, and I started to put constraints on like what time I went to bed and how many hours I allowed myself to work. And like, I started to, what different decisions and choices would I make? And so that started essentially the journey of the last 5 years where we now live in a home that is like exactly how I hoped it would be. It's filled with joy and fun and creativity and peace and closeness. And my husband and I both have really cool things that we get to do professionally. It is not perfect, but it is an existence that I would choose every single time. And I could not always say that about our lives. And so as I'm, you know, as life takes you, you get to a place where people start to like append to you, you're successful. And, you know, you start to speak on panels and I listen to your podcast. I'm like, I owe it to other families. I owe it to the next generation of young women who are trying to ask themselves, and young couples and like single moms too. It's just, it's my lived experience. So that's why I talk about it from a two career family. I did not research this. I did not go study it. I'm just sharing with you. This is what I learned and lived. And so I just feel a responsibility to talk about the gory details of it and to talk about really specifically how we solved that and what systems we've put into our house and how, when I started to look at my house and my life like an organism that had growth and contraction seasons to it, just like a business is, and I applied a lot of those principles, it unlocked everything for us. And I I'm married to the same man. I'm so grateful that we'll be celebrating 20 years soon. We had a bonus kid, you know, to boot. And now we have four girls. I can't even imagine, you know, being so lucky. My business is run by a president who's like absolutely crushing it. But it was a series of decisions that got me to the place where it's like, holy crap, everything's working. Well, we started from a place of holy crap, nothing's working. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like a responsibility to publish the bridge, you know, like how did we do it? And what did I learn? And what wisdom did I curate from others? And what did I experiment with? And who actually works inside of our house? And what's my help look like? And like, I was dying to know the question, the answers to all those questions when I was younger. And now I have access to people I can ask, but I didn't always, you know, to like know the answers to all that stuff. So that's what this kind of stretch of the race looks like for me professionally. I want to stay in the game. Like I'm still the CEO of Element 3. I have active investments in other businesses and leaders I'm really passionate about. So I'm not just like reporting on when I used to work, like this is the chaos that it looked like. Like I'm still in it. I'm still reporting live from the sidelines of what it looks like now. So that's where we are.
Well, no, you know, it sounds like systems and processes have to be in place just like a business in the household, but also discipline and discipline comes with something good at the end of it. Mm-hmm. But yet people look at discipline with a negative connotation and run from discipline so much. Why do you think people run from discipline?
I joke that you are not doing the thing you are not doing the thing you think you are doing if you are not doing the thing you said you were going to do. Like you don't do it. I think people aren't disciplined. I think because they make the first step too big. I have a concept of minimums that I talk about a lot. After I had our fourth kid, I was 40 years old. It was in the middle of COVID. I was like Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall and broke. Did you have a COVID baby?
No, but I just can't imagine. Like I think I empathize with people as they're talking because
it was terrible. I wanted to give her. It was just terrible. It was terrible. And I wanted to lose like 40 pounds in 4 weeks. I wanted to get back as soon as I quit. I'm an achiever. This should go quickly. Like, oh my word, like get on with it already. And I was just like disgusted. I was just frustrated. I felt so uncomfortable. But the truth was I was living in the middle of a 8-lane highway. Like my life was moving really fast and I did not have the time to go big loser style, like, you know, biggest loser style and just like detach myself from life for 8 weeks and go make this happen. And so I had to commit to very, very small increments of progress towards the goal of me getting back to where I was comfortable in myself. And for a while, I felt like a failure that I couldn't take bigger steps. Mm-hmm. But I had three other kids. I had a business that was like, I had a lot of responsibility that I had to show up for. And so the degree to which I could show up for myself was very small increments at the beginning. It still is actually pretty small. But that over a long period of time got me to where I wanted to go. And I just think people are used to this automatic lifestyle. And I think discipline, it's not filled with instant gratification. And so it can be hard to stay emotionally invested in the outcome.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
what do you think?
For me, discipline in my life, you know, I've just gradually installed it. And before you know it, I don't feel like I'm being disciplined with a lot of areas because it's just like the way of life.
So are you naturally disciplined?
No, I don't think so. No,
I'm not either.
No, I don't think so. I don't think
it takes a lot of effort.
Yeah, I don't. No, I'm definitely not. I ran hard. So I was disciplined. Let's put it this way. Somehow I was disciplined when I was younger. I didn't drink until I got out of high school. I was an athlete. I went to college and played football. But when I got to college and got on my own, the discipline that was there for me that at home, I guess, I was like, this is like Disneyland. There's parties, women, I can wake up when I want to, even though I had football, I still had some structure there, mm-hmm. but I still was like undisciplined. I went mm-hmm. that away from it. And then my life didn't go the way I wanted it to. So I started to realize, wait a minute. Okay. We mm-hmm. need discipline. Discipline's a good thing. And you know, you just start to make it a way of life. And you do that mm-hmm. by creating, like you're talking about steps 100%, but you mm-hmm. just start doing these things like one at a time. Don't overwhelm yourself. Just add them in. like working out. I go to the gym in the morning and I don't even think twice about it. It's just what mm-hmm. I do. Like, I don't think of it as discipline. And I go hard and I sweat and I lift, and but it doesn't feel like it used to feel mm-hmm. when I felt like I had to do this. It's mm-hmm. just a way of life. Podcasting. I've been on over 900 podcasts. I've had over 600 of my own. When I decided to do this and get the result that I wanted, I saw from podcasting that some of my mentors had, I said, man, I just got to make this a way of life. Mm-hmm. It's a way of life. Mm-hmm. So,
but you were willing to get through the discomfort of, at the beginning, all you see is the microphone. Like, you're kind of like, you know, it's like there's discomfort that you have to get through until it. Yeah. And you're like, publish this. I sort of sound like an idiot, but I'm going to push publish anyway. And I think that clumsy discomfort learning, like childlike way, is really uncomfortable for adults. And I think when you're a lifelong learner, whatever that means, you start to see that's a necessary part of the like maturity yeah. curve. But I think people wig out. They just wig out. Like, I'm bad at this. I was walking to the gym. I don't know where to go. Somebody just sat on my machine and I'm not done, and I put too much weight. And like, it's just like, it's sensory overload when you don't know what you're doing. But now you know the thing, this program, this is what I have to take. You know what's in your bag. You know what you put in there the night before. You know exactly where you start. You know, like, it's just like, it's unconscious. But at the beginning, every single step of that experience is a mental load.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, so I got a couple thoughts. One, lean into things. I lean into things. Fear runs from you when you lean into it. Things become easier when you lean into it. I was ice skating this weekend. I've ice skated in the past, but I haven't in a while. My daughter was out there. Are you going to come on here on the ice with me, Dad? Mom doesn't want to. I said, yeah, I'm not sure. I don't want to really do it today. Because I didn't want to go through that first 5-10 minutes where you're like, oh, shit, I'm going to fall. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, you know what? I tell her, I'm leaning into it. I was doing that first where I was a little shaky. And then before you know it, I'm like, hey, tie me around here. See how fast I can go around this track. Mm-hmm. And so it just reminds me of that. Lean into it. Everything gets easier. And at first, of course, it's going to be hard. Like, why wouldn't it be? And then mm-hmm. the other thing, I don't care what people think. Like, I really don't care what people think. Like, I just want to be me and unapologetically lean into it. So I think that helps too.
Has that been learned, or is that natural to you?
Oh, it's been learned because
the part of I don't care what people think. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been learned because, you know, I grew up trying to be accepted myself personally. I've been trying to be accepted and all the things that I've been through in my life. And then I started to realize, like, what is that getting me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and being accepted into a what? And into a group where you fit in and you just blend in. I want to stand out. I want attention. I believe that the successful people are the ones standing out. And that's where I started thinking, well, 50% of people hate the president, roughly, give or take, right? Depending on who the president is. 50% hate him, 50% love him, or whatever.
We're over-indexing on that now. But
Yeah, I know. I wasn't sure. I tried to keep politics out, but, you know, yeah, I agree. 30% like the president, 80% don't. That math doesn't even add up. So anyway. But I just realized, like, I'm going to attract the people that I want to be around by just being myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to repel the people that I don't want to be around by being myself.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that. Yeah, that's learned.
Mm-hmm.
So, cool. But listen, I want to respect your time. I've had a great time. We could go on for hours because there's so much more we could talk about. Maybe, just maybe, I could appear on your podcast if you have men. I'm not sure if you have men on your podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
But I have a lot to say about relationships, marriage. I've been married over 20 years now. Been through it all. And I have a wonderful wife. So yeah, we could talk about a lot of things on there as well. But as we wind down, I just want to say real quick, your podcast, what has it done for you and your business having a podcast?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing it's done for me, it almost serves as a verbal journal. It makes me pay attention to my life with so much more intention. I think that's the gift it's given me is, you know, saying yes to some type of a publishing schedule makes you create content. And creating content that is good and helps other people has just helped me just watch my life differently. And that's been cool. And from my business perspective, I mean, it certainly creates relationships that helps the agency, both from a new business perspective, but really from talent. I think, you know, people want to work for an authentic leader. And when I talk really vulnerably about my life and what I'm learning, I have found that as a real attractor for people who want to live a really, really real life. So
100%.
A lot of times people will say, I feel like I know you because I listen to your show. And
yep.
I think they're mostly attracted to the vulnerability.
Yeah. And they relate, you know? So yeah, no, that, I love it. I love it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Tiffany. I had a good time and got to know you better. And I definitely, you know, there's definitely synergy here for us to look into collabing, whether it's your business or podcast or something here. We'll be doing a follow-up after that, but I want to thank you for being here.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
All right. Hang tight while I wrap this up. Guys, thank you so much for being here. If you're listening for your first time, come back again. We have a lot of great guests, just like Tiffany, sharing what they're made of, sharing what they're going through. The vulnerability, transparency, like she said, helps you relate. And I just want to keep providing this great content to you guys. Until next time, it's your boy C-Rock here from That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of show. Be that one. I wish I would die after.